Okay, are we going? Yeah. All right, Sunday morning, 2/21/21. As we were up here, we were singing, the Lord just said to me, nothing can stop what is coming. It's not just a catchphrase. It's not just a cue post. It's not just an agency. It's the kingdom. It's nothing can stop what's coming. And the more get on board with that, the better it'll be and the quicker it'll be. But regardless, nothing can stop it. Nothing's going to stop it. And it amazes me every week the different take the Lord gives me on things. I'm just going, he has me, it's like phonics. They hit you backwards and forwards to get you to learn the basics so that it gets ingrained in you. Anyway, the title of this, this is Learning to Flow in the Supernatural, is Walking from the Inside Out, is the title of this. There's a scripture, I don't think I wrote it down, but it talks about the kingdom of God does not come with observation. In other words, it's not this big outward thing we're looking to drop on us just overnight. It's those inside changes as the Holy Spirit leads us. See, when we go about our business, we see things, we go places, we see things that we don't like. And that's where it begins. This morning before the broadcast, I started talking to Fox and saying, you will either change your ways and repent, or you will no longer be leaders, owners, employees. Because their disclaimer says, our employees, everyone affiliated with this, is not in agreement with this programmer. I'm thinking, that's a crying shame. So from what I, you know, we don't go and fight with people over the mask. We walk into the establishment and say, you will either change your ways and you will drop this silliness, or you will be no longer have a job, or you no longer earn this business, because I speak God's people into this, God-fearing people that honor God. As well as I speak, there's no mask mandate, period. No paraphernalia, no stuff on the windows, no stuff on the doors, no circles and lines on the floor, no loops of propaganda playing in the stores. You violated all of our rights by your behavior. You are no longer considered worthy to have this business, but you can repent and God will forgive you and you get on track. A lot of people just go with the trend and they go with the flow. It's not that they're necessarily evil, but they're worldly and they just go with the flow. Coca-Cola's come out with a new slogan about trying to be, don't try to be not so white. I'm thinking, makes me want to go burn every Coca-Cola item I have. You know, it's like, no, that's not the answer. The answer is, you either get yourself in gear or you will be no more. Or you, there will be new, because most people like Coke. There'll be new owners. The wealth of the, what? The wealth of the wicked is laid up for the righteous. There's a transfer fixing to take place. When Jesus was here, he walked from the inside out. He changed things like the fig tree. No one eat fruit from you again. Right? Mm-hmm. He saw a shriveled up arm and he said, stretch forth your arm. And he did. He saw the lame man. He said, get up and walk. And he did. He saw the people had been 3 days without food. And he blessed the loaves and the fishes and kept breaking it. And it fed 5,000 with 12 baskets left over. This is kingdom operation, and it's normal for a Christian. The kingdom's inside of you. And it'll touch the natural earth wherever you go. People will begin to look and see, and they'll think, wow, It doesn't have to be wow. It can just be, well, you can do this too. This is a new kingdom coming. Nothing can stop it. Not the globalist. Okay. Unfortunately, most people, even Christians, do not know how to walk as a born-again Christian. Haven't been taught. No longer an outside walk, but an inward one. Okay, we're going to look at a few scriptures here. This is John chapter 4. God sent his messenger ahead of Jesus, John, to say the kingdom of God is at hand, to get prepare people's hearts to receive the kingdom. God sent Jesus to a woman of Samaria. That's what we're going to read here. Verse 1 says, when therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself baptized not but his disciples, he left Judea and departed again into Galilee, and he must needs go through Samaria. Then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, give me a drink. For his disciples were gone away into the city to buy meat. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, how is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. I had a chance this week to, at a hair appointment, to speak to a man one of the people that does hair there, and he's a homosexual, but he's a Christian. He's a Christian, and he said, I hope I'm right with the Lord. You know, I was trying to talk to him about, you know, we were talking about the end times, and I said, yeah, I said, we've been made to believe it's all bad for us, but I said, we've been fooled. I said, it's not bad for those that are ready at his coming. I said, it's bad for those who aren't. I'm not here to judge. I'm here to bring the word of God. And then I'm not your personal judge. You receive the word, and then you change your life according to it, according to, you know, Jesus' instructions, God's instruction. I'm not that man's judge. He's one of the kindest men, has a very gentle heart. He's just misguided. You know, I'm not going to wreck his life up by going in there, blast, and say, well, if you don't change your ways, you're going to hell. How's that going to help anybody? It just turns them away. They have to see something better. The gospel was presented. Jesus did not condemn anybody except the religious leaders. No matter what condition these people were in, he ministered to them. He was showing them the kingdom. The kingdom is the goodness of God. And that's what leads men towards repentance. Well, I see the goodness of God there. That's what I'm going to follow. And then in the process, they get changed. This is the kingdom. This is kingdom works and kingdom operation, not judgment. That's reserved for God alone. And this is what this woman is saying here. Don't you know I'm a Samaritan? Jews don't have anything to do with the Samaritans. But God personally sent him against religious whatever to deal with her, to speak with her. Okay, for his disciples were gone away into the city to buy meat, and he said to the woman unto him, how is it that thou, being a Jew, ask a drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. We're homosexual. You know what? I want them to know that if something happened to them, that I would do for them whatever I do to anybody. That's where this world is going to have to change. That's what Nacera is about. It's about humanitarian. It's about helping people because they are people. Not because, well, you go to my church and I'll do whatever. But if you don't, you know, you're not welcome here. We're not going to do nothing for you. That's a Pharisee. Jesus answered and said unto her, If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, Give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. The woman said unto him, Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well, and drank thereof himself, and his children, and his cattle? Jesus answered and said unto her, Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. This water will change you from the inside out. The woman saith unto him, Sir, give me this water, that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. Jesus saith unto her, Go call thy husband and come hither. And the woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said unto her, Thou hast well said, I have no husband, for thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband. In that sayest thou truly. The woman saith unto him, Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when he shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Talk about, there's not going to be this. You got to go to this church. We are the church. We are the temple of the Holy Ghost. Now get that in your brain. We've had it crammed down us. Ye worship, ye know not what. We know what we worship for salvation of the Jews, but the hour cometh and now is when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Ye are the temple. I'm not saying don't go to church, but we put far too emphasis on a building. The woman saith unto him, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he has come, he will tell us all things. And Jesus saith unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. Now the woman leaves and goes and tells everybody, I found the Messiah, I found the Messiah. The one that's coming is going to unite us all. We're all going to be the children of God, and we're the ones that are born again. We're all going to be part of his body, his flesh and of his bone. It's an inside thing. The temple's inside. Not a building that you feel like I've got to be loyal to. And if you are, that's fine, but that's not what he's talking about here. If church buildings could have done it, it'd have got done. Because you see them everywhere. We were made to act just like him. See, the kingdom was in him. And the born again experience brings the kingdom within you. And we're to be advancing the kingdom. We're to be taking it by force, it says. Violently, if necessary. And in this day and time, when I come out of places, I feel violent. I feel like, you know, the stuff that Congress has pulled. I said, Lord, I'm getting to the place, I'm ready to get a gun, and I'm ready to go and just go, slam their doors open, kick their doors in, and just shoot them dead where they sit. That's the point they want us to get to, finally, to rise up and do something. But as the kingdom of God, our fight is not with flesh and blood. It's with demonic forces. Satan himself. That's where our fight is. Because when you bring that down, you bring the other down. That's why our job is so important. That's why the church really sets the tone for everything. When the church doesn't do what they're supposed to, everything falls apart. Is it falling apart? Yeah. And it's not this religious institution. It's what's inside. It's hearing the voice of the Spirit and then doing what the Spirit says to do. Just like Jesus walked. He manifested the kingdom of God wherever he went. And it was all good. There weren't any bad things. Nothing bad. All good. Okay, Genesis 1. We're made in his likeness and in his image. We have been so suppressed. We have forgotten to be who we really are. I have a word coming. It's called time to change your identity. Satan is the one. He is the one that steals your identity. Okay. And God said, 126, let us make man in our image, after our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over the cattle, over the earth, and over every creep. Who's that, deep state? Every creep. And God created man in his own image, and the image of God created he him, male and female created he them, and God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth, and subdue it. Have dominion over them, not let dominion take dominion over you. You take dominion. We're the ones responsible here. Over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. That's who we are. That's our identity. That is who we are. God wants us to know who we are and to act like who we are, made in his image and likeness. Jesus cursing the fig tree. Wherever we go, instead of voicing, I don't like this and I don't like that, speak what you want. You instantly identify what you don't like, then you say what you do like. It's not rocket science. It's not something we got to have a 30-day fast to find out about. We don't even have to have rhema, and it's good. When we start turning that parked car, or the turn on the car, so we can move the car, as we begin to start doing this, God will begin to will define it, and it'll get to where, wherever we go, he's just, we're flowing, we're speaking, this is happening, that's happening. Still, we sit back, well, we better stay home and pray 12 hours and read 4 or 5 hours and oh, I can't do nothing without God telling me what to do. Stop that. Get up off of your honey and get to moving and get to doing, and then he'll begin to work with you. That's how it works. Now, there's nothing wrong with praying. There's nothing wrong with reading for the right purposes. It's more to build up your faith than anything. But as you begin to go, that's the way I believe Jesus operated. He stayed in prayer sometimes all night. But he took off. He took off and he said, well, today I got to go to Samaria. Let's go, you know. That's the way he operated. It's not hard. In his sphere of influence, he really had a pretty small sphere of influence. Okay, y'all, take dominion, spirit dominion. Do what God did. God saw the darkness and he said, light be. You know, we're pretty defined as people, humans, what we like and we don't like. I'm very black and white. I know exactly what I like. I know exactly what I don't like. So it's not going to be hard for you to be able to discern, probably, when you come across a situation you don't like. Well, I can tell you any store I go in, if you've got that mask crap around, I don't like it. And I'm going to start speaking, and I'm going to speak you out if you're not going to adhere to what God wants and speak in somebody who will do what God wants. We're not against people here. We're against spirits and influences. You walk in a place or a lot of restaurants have good food that I can't stand to be in because of the spirit that's there. Should I just say, well, I'm not going to go there anymore? No! Why has God put you in these places? It's so you can change it. He wants you to speak his influence into it. Cast the devil out of it. This is occupying the land. Yeah. All right. We know what happened in Genesis chapter 3. The woman listened to the devil and she lost her identity. Up until the time of their listening to reason, they were acting just like God, clothed in God's glory. Their reasoning cost them the glory. They were made in the image and likeness of God. They walked with God in the cool of the evening. But then here comes the snake and begins to cause them to reason about things instead of who they knew they were. And they lost the glory of God. But thank God through the new birth, we got it back. I'm thankful. Even in the old covenant, the priest had to wear linen garments which represented righteousness and what before they could come before in the temple before God. Yeah. All right. God's already given you righteousness. You're the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Okay, I want to look at Colossians 1:27. To whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. See, the man and the woman were clothed in God's glory. They weren't naked. But when reasoning came on the scene, all of a sudden they lost their clothes. The glory. They just lost them. God gave it back. All right, just like Adam before the fall, we hear God. It's not external. See, Adam heard God walking. He was spirit. He did have a body. But they were totally walked just like God. They weren't even aware that they were a naked body. They didn't even have any consciousness of the fact until Satan caused them to start reasoning, and they changed masters. How many times have we read Matthew 6, 24 through 34? He got the focus on, well, you know, God's holding out on you, and, you know, instead of that security and carefree that they walked in, Satan got their attention off of that onto his voice and what he had to say, and it caused them to switch masters. Okay. Because of the fall, the only way that God could communicate with man was through outward signs. They were spiritually dead people then. They died. They were barred from the garden because if he'd eaten of the tree of life, we would have been in a perpetual fallen state for eternity. God couldn't have done anything. So really, it was a blessing that they died. You know, because of the situation they were in. In eternal damnation. Okay. All right. Now, we're learning to walk from the inside out. We do not walk by outward signs. Okay, we're going to turn over to the book of Judges. Like I said, in the old covenant, everything they did was by outward signs. Everything in the tabernacle and all of those things, it was a reflection of something that was heavenly, but it was natural because they were natural men. They had no perception of spiritual things. Only way God could talk to them was through natural ways. And we're going to see by this story what I'm talking about. Judges 6:36. God visits Gideon. He wants to send Gideon to take out the Midianites. And Gideon asks God for a sign, or the angel for a sign here. This is, like I said, verse 36. It says, "And Gideon said unto God, If thou wilt save Israel by mine hand, as thou hast said, Behold, I will put a fleece of wool in the floor, and if the dew be on the fleece only, and if it be dry upon all the earth beside, then shall I know that thou wilt save Israel by my hand, as thou hast said. And it was so, for he rose up early on the morrow, and thrust the fleece together, and wringed the dew out of the fleece, a bowl full of water. And Gideon said unto God, Let not mine anger be hot against me, and I will speak but this once. Let me prove, I pray thee, but this once with the fleece. Let it now be dry only upon the fleece, and upon all the ground let there be dew. And God did so that night, for it was dry upon the fleece only, and there was dew on all the ground. We do not use fleece prayers today. Why? Because the kingdom of God is inside of us. What we do is prompted by the Holy Spirit. What we hear the Lord God. We don't go by outward signs, because that's where Satan accommodates. Well, Lord, if it's you, send 3 red cars by my house. Lord, if it's you, open that door. If it ain't you, shut that door. It don't work like that anymore. If you walk that way, if you are fleecy, you are going to get fleeced. You cannot trust the God of this world in the physical, because he is the God of it. We're listening for what? The still, small voice. Okay. Webster says this about fleece: to strip of money or property by fraud or extortion. Well, I thought the Lord, he opened that door, so I thought it was the one, but it wasn't. It's because we don't go by naturally outside manifestations. We go by the witness in here. Now, he is the God that opens doors that no man can shut, and closes doors, opens doors. But it's not that we pray that way. Opportunities do open. But he speaks in here. This is what we go by. See, if we'll go this way, we won't ever get fleeced. You know what another word for fleeced is? Skinned. You ever see a sheep that's been sheared? Pitiful sight. And when the devil fleeces us, it's a pitiful sight. And so many Christians, that's the way they pray, and that's what they do. They have no clue. There's a God that lives on the inside of us. We are his temple. We're the temple of the Holy Ghost. And he will speak to us and show us what to do. And I think that's why he doesn't speak often. I can remember seeking the Lord for something for 2 solid years. And then finally, he gave me the answer. I'm going, this would have been helpful 2 years ago. Sometimes I just think he's just going, one of these days they're going to get it and know that I'm in here and I've got the answer, but they just keep running here and there trying to do it themselves and trying to gauge it by all this outward stuff. It don't work that way. Now, baby Christian, the Lord might accommodate on down, you know what I'm saying, but no. All right. Pray scriptural prayers like binding and loosing, or praying the prayer of agreement for God's wisdom to know what to do concerning the situation. Okay. Well, you know, I know it had to be God because 3 doctors told me this. Oh, really? Yeah. Well, we know who they work for, whether they know it or not. The witch doctor. They may be noble in what they do, wanting to help people, but it's still the same system regardless. That's hard for people to get their heads around, especially when they felt like the physician was their trusted friend that they could go to for anything. And maybe they are. Maybe they're a good person. But I'm thinking, it amazes me that people forget, what was the stuff about Jesus' stripes on his back? Does that mean anything to you? As a Christian, does that mean anything? I don't think it does. They don't even consider it. It's usually a last resort. After they've been to all the doctors and nothing else can be helped, they finally think, well, I guess maybe I need to pray. Or we pray, but if it don't happen within 24, 46, 48 hours, then we're heading to the experts here. Oh, it's quiet in here. Well, God, if you want me to do this, open this door. Probably not going to do that. That's a wide open fleece prayer. You need to be very careful in that kind of praying. And we've all done it, not knowing. But I'll tell you what, when he speaks in here, you can take it to the bank. I mean, it's rock solid. All right. God told Elijah, this is 1 Kings 19. And he said, go forth and stand upon the mount before the Lord, and behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind rent the mountains and brake in pieces of rocks before the Lord, but the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still, small voice. That's what we gauge, we go by. Not fleeces, not signs. When Jesus was here, he had to deal with the religious leaders, and he told them in Luke 11, 29 and 30, he says, the only sign that's going to be given you is the sign of Jonah the prophet. He sent them right back to the scripture. Right back to the scripture, Jonah the prophet. He sent them to the Word of God to confirm. He didn't give them a sign. I want to look at Romans for a minute, and then we're going to look at Jonah just for a second. This is Romans 8, 14. For as many as are led by the what? Fleeces? No. Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. We as humans, whenever we get in uncomfortable situations and it's hard on our flesh, we want out and we're looking for anything in the world to try to get out of it. Human nature. What's comfortable, you want out of. Okay, Jonah. I call Jonah the bad attitude prophet. All right, chapter 1. Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord and went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof and went down into it to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. So he decided to go on a cruise instead. I'm not going to obey the Lord. But the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. You know what? When we see this, even in the Old Covenant, I don't believe God did any of it. He turned his back on God and walked the other way. Guess who accommodated? Who's the one that stirs up the sea? The devil. By his disobedience, now the devil could have free rein on him, and he pretty well did. Then the mariners were afraid and cried every man unto his God and cast forth the wares that were in the ship into the sea to lighten it of them. But Jonah was gone down into the sides of the ship, and he lay and was fast asleep. So the shipmaster came to him and said unto him, what meanest thou, O sleeper, arise? Call upon thy God, if so be that God will think upon us that we perish not. And they said every one to his fellow, come, let us cast lots that we may know for whose cause this evil is upon us. So they cast lots, and the lot fell upon Jonah. Then said they unto him, tell us, we pray thee, for whose cause this evil is upon us. God doesn't do evil. What is thine occupation, and whence comest thou? What is thy country, and of what people art thou? He said unto them, I am a Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, which hath made the sea and the dry land. Then were the men exceedingly afraid, and said unto him, what hast thou done this? For the men knew that he fled from the presence of the Lord, because he had told them. Then said they unto him, what shall we do unto thee, that the sea may be calm unto us? For the sea wrought and was tempestuous. And he said unto them, take me up and cast me forth into the sea, so shall the sea be calm unto you, for I know that for my sake this great tempest is upon you. Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to bring it to the land, but they would not, for the sea wrought and was tempestuous against them. Wherefore they cried unto the Lord and said, we beseech thee, O Lord, we beseech thee, let us not perish for this man's life. And lay not upon us innocent blood, for thou, O Lord, hast done as it pleased thee. So they took up Jonah, cast him forth into the sea, and the sea ceased from her raging. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly, and offered a sacrifice unto the Lord with vows. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. Now we know the story of Jonah, everything he went through. Some people think, you know, Jesus said as Jonah, you know, was 3 days in the belly of the fish. You know, he was likening that to his death, burial, and resurrection. So some people think Jonah maybe actually died in that fish, but he resurrected, and the fish vomited him out. Some say that place that they actually worshiped the fish god, so when they saw Jonah vomited out, it was a sign to them. Could be. But I want to, we're not going to read two, because I basically told you. I'm going to read three, because I want you to see something here about Jonah. And the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time, saying, arise, go unto Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee. And Jonah rose and went unto Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceeding great city of 3 days' journey. And Jonah began to enter into the city a day journey, and he cried and said, yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. So the people of Nineveh believed God and proclaimed a fast and put on sackcloth from the greatest of them even to the least of them. For the word came unto the king of Nineveh, and he rose from his throne, and he laid his robe upon him, and covereth him with sackcloth that sat in ashes. He caused it to be proclaimed and published through Nineveh by the decree of the king and his nobles, saying, let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock, taste anything. Let them not feed nor drink water, but let man and beast be covered with sackcloth and cry mightily unto God. Yea, let them turn every one from his evil way and from the violence that is in their hands. Who can tell if God will turn and repent and turn away from his fierce anger that we perish not? And God saw their works, that they turned from their evil way, and God repented of the evil that he had said that he would do unto them, and he did it not. But it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was very angry. Sounds like today, we're so ready to see these wicked ones dealt with. But what if there's a window that they could sit in sackcloth and ashes and God could say, I repent of the evil that I was going to do to you? God is the righteous judge. He knows when they've stepped over the line or when they haven't. But my point is, people like Jonah, God has to deal with them in a certain way, and he puts us in these situations and has us walk through hard places because he is proving us, because he has a lot of work for us to do. And it's very unpleasant, and we want to run away from God. I remember Joyce Meyer saying, I used to have to hold on to the legs of the furniture in my office to keep from running from God. It was so hard, and I identify with that. But the point is, God knows that he has a work to do in us. Now, Jonah made it hard for himself. He didn't have to go through all that, but he did. Because he didn't want to, he had some kind of attitude that I don't want to do it because God will be merciful to them and I want him to kill them all. We have to be careful that we don't let our attitude, because with what they've done to the children, everybody, you know, like I said, Lord, I feel like you're pushing me to the point I want to get a gun myself and go to Washington. Is that the right attitude? No. I said, Lord, we're not ministers of wrath. We're ministers of reconciliation. And that's why we go through these things, is because God is proving us for the work that we have ahead. All right, we're to walk by the still, small voice. But can God depend on you? See, we stick it out. We walk it through, even though when it gets hard. Even though we don't like it, we hate it. We hate everything about it. And I've been there and I've bailed out. I've been just like Jonah at times because it got so fiery, I just couldn't take it anymore. And I always regretted it. But, I mean, you just pick yourself up and you go get back online and start walking forward. And then more things come. Okay. How do you know that you are a Christian? In the Pentecostal churches, or at least the ones we were in, if you didn't get some emotional thing or something, you thought God didn't love you anymore. You go to church, and if you didn't, you know, it was back when the Pentecostal women, they sounded like freight trains, I'm telling you. And we saw some supernatural things, but it was all a big emotional display, and I'll tell you what, you got to thinking, if you didn't feel a certain way, then God didn't love you, which has absolutely nothing in the world to do with it. All right, the Word of God shows us as Christians and the way that we are to walk. Okay, we started this a few months back, and we started looking into the fruit of the Spirit. That's what we're going to look at again. This is Galatians 5, verse 16 here. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Well, what are the fruit? The fruit are love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. See, that's what God is working in us. When you're in hard times, that's what's being worked in you. It's not pleasant. When somebody's, you know when somebody's squeezing your fruit. You're having your fruit squeezed. But remember, peace always makes the call. It's the umpire. Always think baseball game. Always see the umpire over the plate going, safe. It always makes the call. You can always know you'll be safe if you let the umpire make the call. Peace. Not fleecy prayers. All right. Time to stop running from God's will because it is uncomfortable. A lot of us live to just get out from under it. It's because we don't know who we really are. Remember hearing, well, I read you about Joyce Meyer. Sometimes he has to work on attitudes in us that are not pleasing to him so he can trust us for the work that he has ahead that we will understand ahead, but we don't understand now. The Lord keeps saying to us, and he said several times over the years, you're going to be so glad I stuck with you, and you're going to be so glad that you didn't run away, because others, just like you, have said with their lips that they'd do anything I asked them to do, and they didn't make it. At some point, they bailed out. Okay, we must have a pure heart so God can trust us. See, he knows what's in there. Even things maybe we're not even aware of. But he's letting us walk through the fire. There's some scriptures, I'm not sure where they are, Old Covenant scriptures, that talk about the silver that's being heated seven times. In other words, every time the silver comes up, the dross is on the top and the dross is skimmed off to where it's pure. We're walking through the fire. But you know what? The good news about that, just like the three Hebrew children, God is in the fire with us. He's not asking us to walk this out by ourselves. He is in the fire with us. You'll not no way be burned. You'll not no way be drowned, for I am with you. That's what's going on. So remember, he's not out there somewhere. He's right in here. Not always easy. All right, let's look at Daniel right quick. Well, no, we won't. It's too long. It's the one with the three Hebrew children. They were the ones that said, you know what? You know, God will deliver us. But even if he didn't, we're not going to serve your God. We're not going to bow. We'd rather burn than bow. That's what God is looking for. That's what people of faith, that's how they talk, that's how they walk. That's the way the real church is supposed to be acting. And we're going forward and we're changing things, speaking. We don't have to make a scene. We don't have to go in a restaurant and make a scene over wearing a mask. We're in our witness when we do that. But we can be behind the scenes and nobody ever knows anything and change it. And that's what we have to do. That's what we're called to do because we're made in the image and likeness of God. We need to remember who we are when we get in these situations, that we're not powerless here. Greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. We are not powerless. In fact, we are all powerful. You can't get any more powerful than God, and we're made in his image and likeness. You didn't see any greater devastation than you would have seen whenever he saw the earth out there covered in water and darkness was on the face of the waters. And he said, light be, and light came. And he began to speak and change the whole earth. What are we supposed to be doing? We're changing the whole earth. We stand in a awesome place. We really do. We stand in the most awesome place that you could stand in this situation. Better than Space Force, better than the military, better than anybody. We've got more power and more authority because the earth he's given to man. Well, I encourage you this week. The Lord is working. Things are turning around, but we're just going to make them turn around just that much more faster. Just get busy. Start taking dominion where you, your sphere of influence. That's why God has you there. He's not going to put you in a perfect situation where you can sit around and do shundalas and hallelujahs all day. That's not the point. He wants you to change it. He'll put you where there's darkness. So you can say light. That's how the world's going to change right there. That's how the kingdom of God operates. Okay, I think that'll do on that.